Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is Technoid Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sharing his story today with us now is Sean Frelick, who's a part of the team here, the feed host.
Yeah, I don't know how I got over in this chair. I'm usually sitting the other side of the room.
Well, you know what? I felt like you deserved a bump from three to mic two. And you were mic one like two times in a row, like two out of the last couple weeks. So I wanted to kind of sit down with you before we get into the feed.
Cool.
You know, what has it been like? You're a Medill graduate like the rest of us here, and you're trying to find your dream.
Yeah.
The media world is getting flipped upside down on its head and then kicked in the junk.
Yeah.
What is it like to jump into a media company that is older, but it's essentially a startup? We kind of restarted this company.
Yeah, what? Certainly. Technori is not what it was in 2010 by any means. I like this venture so far. I knew going into it that it was going to be a much bigger challenge compared to just like going to some news organization. On one hand, one reason it brought me here is just that opportunities were really dried up and hard to find. The other thing is on the other side, it's just I wanted to be on the cutting edge, and I think what we're doing is much closer to the cutting edge. Like you said, the media landscape is being flipped on its head. And
kicked in the junk.
And kicked in the junk, yeah. I don't want to leave that part out of it, too, because there was a lot of
there's a visual
rolling over, yeah. And there was a lot of painful stuff going on. So I like this challenge. I don't know where it's headed, but I feel like there needs to be this emptying out of a lot of the old and this kind of rediscovery of the new.
What have you found surprising? I mean, you came out of grad school. They taught. I don't want to be mean because I know there's Northwesterners who listen to this. They don't
have accreditation anymore.
I can say whatever the hell I want. They're not even accredited, thanks to Mr. Ham over there. Which whatever, I can actually get in as an alum. I personally think good for him. I don't know how you feel that way. I mean, as an alum, I get the non-accredited, so it's like we got this money, we invested, and many, many alum are pissed. But I think, you know what? The school is still accredited, and if at the end of the day accreditation is just me paying you money to come and do random metric research and asking a couple of our students, like, did they have you go to class from 3 to 5? Like, is this the differentiator between a random online program and this? Is that what we're paying for? Because if that's the case, it's like, who gives a
shit? It's a bold move, and I think time will show whether or not it was the right decision. I think their heart is in the right place and their head is in the right place. It seems to them that it was a waste of time to go for that accreditation, and their standards weren't high enough for them. So maybe Northwestern will set the pace for what a media accreditation or J-school accreditation actually stands for.
Possibly. And I looked at this on another front, and two pieces in particular stuck out. This is somewhat of my own conspiracy theory here, so bear with me on it. But
go ahead.
You know, I think one part of it is that having the accreditation stuff makes it where it's harder for you to be like I was in school and go to different colleges within Northwestern. It's not as easy to how many classes you have to take to get the degree from here, and it still count as a Medill degree. Me going to different classes is one part of it, and the future of journalism is that you take classes in coding, you take classes in business, you take classes in all these different things. Otherwise, you won't be able to be a journalist because they're paying $15,000 for a producer. That's not going to get it. No one can do that. So that's one thing. They've got to give you a degree that gives you more value. John, with the camera behind us, would like to hear that there's more value provided in the journalism degree. But the other, my more conspiracy part is, as they're shifting, and you just saw the master's degree program by the Integrated Marketing Communication online.
Yeah.
I think that by doing this, they're basically saying, we're not going to deal with what you think of our online program. We're not going to be under the same guise and scope. And I think by getting rid of this question mark, they can go forward with online and it be a Northwestern online degree and it be awesome. And maybe it will be awesome. I'm not criticizing it, but it's certainly takes out the opportunity for you to be like, well, is it accredited? Is it, you know, does it meet the sniff or whatever the hell that term is?
Even when I was applying to looking into which J school I wanted to go to, on the consumer side of things for myself, I wasn't even looking into what kind of accreditation they had. It's just Northwestern Medill already has this public image that's so strong as it is.
If it's a random school, I probably, like something I've never heard of, like any of the schools that were players were drafted by the Bears. Basically, if you're a school that was drafted a Bears player from, I don't know if any of them are accredited. Ashford University, did you see this? I don't know if you guys, did you guys follow the draft? That's the first ever, they had five draft picks and three of them came from schools that weren't even D1.
Well, that sounds like the Bears. That's why I don't pay attention.
Yeah, so I just assume if you're not a D1 school, if you're not like a top 50 school, I assume you're not accredited. fake news, fake schools, fake schools.
Fake bears.
Fake bears. That's the next fake. We should. I don't know if that Twitter hashtag exists, but we should make it.
Yeah.
So on that note, I guess we kind of went off the cuff here a little bit, but
fly down show.
We definitely did a fly down show here. But since we talked about media, we can continue this conversation about your experiences. What have been surprising to you? We started off the college rant with the question was essentially what has surprised you from like the traditional teachings of a Medill school and what your expectations were in the media industry. Having had the opportunity to work with us here, where we're working alongside of WGN, obviously, which is an old school studio,
mm-hmm.
but we're working in a new media world of just really we're kind of inventing as we go along. What has surprised you about, or what has maybe not surprised you about moving into this kind of media?
Well, one thing that has surprised me is that, and I think Medill, as we have been talking about them, is starting to incorporate this into the journalism education, is that you kind of have to become a business person nowadays. You have to do it to survive. You can't just be a storyteller, which is kind of what, for me, and I think a lot of other people, is why you went into journalism schools. You want to do storytelling, and there is a lot of opportunity to do that. But in order to survive, in order to build, in order to scale, I want to incorporate more of these business words that I've been learning through working with you. And you need to integrate those things and really develop those things, and they start to eat up more of your time. So it's been surprising to me how I felt like – I used to be an accounting major.
Yeah.
And I felt like I want to get out of that stuff.
That doesn't surprise me.
I want to get away from that stuff. I don't want to deal with it. I want to do the arts and the creatives and the storytelling.
You're the one that I quick pay. I was always curious why it's always Sean that I quick pay. Now I know. He was an accounting major. I was going to be.
So look at me now. You know, those accounting lessons, the business stuff that I just wanted to destroy and burn to the ground. Oh, hey, I need those things now.
Yeah. And I'll go even further with you on this, and that is that, and I learned this when I was at Medill. I walked down the hall and was like, holy shit, I'm going to be unemployed and unemployable if I continue this. I was totally, I mean, I didn't go into it like wanting to be a journalist, so that's a whole other show's worth of topic, but I recognized a couple of things that were missing. And what the one thing that I did notice, I think you're probably noticing, or I hope you're noticing, is that forever in the journalism world, it was written on paper, and paper was king. The mm-hmm. distribution network was, it got printed out at Tribune, it got mailed out, it got sent out here and here and here, and people read it, and they got ink on their thumbs, and it was great, and it was fun. And the only change that would be made is that we would then take this online by making this a PDF. And this piece of paper that we were writing on before is now a PDF, and the ads and everything else continued. And that's not the world we live in now. And now we're living in a world where just in the, you know, almost a year now that you guys have worked with me, we've done this show in four or five different formats from 360 cameras to live stream cameras to set cameras, multiple to no cameras, like all this stuff. Doing GIFs, doing still pictures, doing live, you know, tweet, Periscope, all this stuff. If you're a journalist, whether it's a journalist, storyteller, whatever you want to call yourself, if you aren't on, like, not just learning afterward the cutting edge of things, you need to be on the curve ahead of it.
If you're
the journalist, you got to know the tools that people want to be consumed. And you don't learn that in journalism school. You learn that in marketing and in customer acquisition, building, user generation, engineering. You learn that. And so without that sort of stuff, I think journalists are going to have a hard time competing and then throw in the finance stuff on top of it. And here we are.
Yeah, like the craft of storytelling, I think, is something that kind of stands the test of time. But I think one thing that's separating this new brand of journalists from the previous ones is that older journalists, I feel, have seen a system in place for so long, like with the print was king for so long, that maybe you kind of become rigid or a little more crotchety about the way you share news in this new marketplace. But I feel like one thing that'll set us apart is that we've had to maintain this open mind because there's so many different outlets. Like, you play with Periscope, you play with the other live streamers, and maybe they end up sucking. But you had to go for it. And I think there's this go for it mentality that I hope that we hold on to so we're not being left behind. And
well, you know, and it's funny, that's a very good point you made, because if you think about it, the holy grail, and Medill even stands by it, the Medill F, the holy grail of mistake making or not mistake making in the journalism world was it went to the editor, went through a series of editors, and there was errors in it. And oh my God, we printed something and published it with errors in it. I can't believe it. And we have to go, like, we have to print a retraction and all this crazy stuff. And now we live in a world that's in a, not 24 hour, it's a 24 second cycle. It's a 1 second cycle. We don't have time to be 100% correct all the time. And there's this like happy medium where somebody's got to make sure that fact checked is correct. That is still important.
Yep.
But sometimes putting out kind of a half-baked product and me going live stream from the bathroom to tell you a story that happened 2 minutes ago is better than taking 45 minutes to do this set and prep it and check it and send it out tomorrow when the news is dead.
Yeah, it's weird. Like some just on an objective standard, some terribly produced stuff goes out there that just goes viral. And it's just like a very terribly produced iPhone selfie video where someone's just telling you the news, but people just
saw a sports column with a guy, literally he was on the shitter talking about the sports, he's talking about the draft. It's like it went viral probably because he was in the toilet.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what the hell were you thinking? Like, how is that something you thought was a good idea?
Go for it mentality.
Oh my God. Well, speaking of go for it mentality, tech, yeah, and everything else, what do we have to feed on this week?
What up, TechNori fam? I'm Sean Frelick, host of The Feed, where I dish out top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Hackers had some major breakthroughs this week, one of which was tricking me with a phishing scam on Gmail. Me, of all people. Google had to patch a widespread email scam that entered millions of inboxes using your friends' emails as a Trojan horse to send a fake document attachment. The trick was using a fake login page that looks identical to Google's so the hackers could get your password. So if you get an email and see a CC'd address with several H's in the name, burn your computer. Or just delete it and don't give up your password like I did. Also, check your Google sharing options to see what programs have access to your Google account. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who is definitely not a lizard person, has been traveling the country visiting areas like rural Michigan where he toured a Ford auto plant. This is stoking the idea that Zucky may run for president one day, but that also means Mark has to clean up home field. Facebook Live has been scrutinized for several videos that show disturbing acts of violence, including murder, that were streamed without any censorship. In response to this, Facebook will hire 3,000 employees who will be solely responsible for watching over Facebook Live content to make sure violent videos are flagged and removed swiftly. While Facebook bolsters its community team, critics are skeptical of Facebook's policing of information and what collateral damage there may be when it comes to flagging content that could damage free speech. I sure hope my Sean's Dinner for One videos don't get flagged. You're loyal to me, WGN audience, unlike the Casper the Ghost Girl I went on a date with last week. So I don't feel ashamed telling you that paying my student loans hasn't been easy. I'm just a man. That's why this week's TechNori shoutout goes to Changed with a capital E. Changed links your checking account and tracks all of your purchases. It rounds up every dollar you spend and puts the difference into an account that chips away at your debt. Say you spend $2.87 on a coffee. Change puts 13 cents into the Changed account and then sends every $100 to your loan company. Change said this can help you avoid accumulating ugly interest on your debts. With there being $1.2 trillion in student debt, that means millennials will have to buy a lot of coffee soon and a lot of toilet paper, am I right? All right, you must be sick of me, so I'll stop talking. Come see my video show on TechNori.com Monday night for another helping of The Feed.
Great job, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
The Zuck thing, Zuck on it, I do think he's going to run for president.
It looks pretty obvious to me, yeah.
Yeah, and the other part about this is I really am worried. I mean, I get that it's crazy and dangerous to have people shooting themselves and shooting others on a camera live stream, but I really don't like the idea of flagging content. I don't like, even when people are pieces of shit and they put out like total fake news,
mm-hmm.
I hate when they flag it, because it's like at the end of the day, if one person wrote something that was legitimate and it got pulled down because you thought it was fake, then this is like, I don't know. It's just not,
yeah.
It's not okay.
Like, we're not going to name the company, but there was a company that flagged one of our videos because they no longer wanted that video up on YouTube. And that seems like an unjust reason to flag a video where it could get innocent people in trouble and like hurt their revenue models. A lot of people live on
model. I hate it. And the one other thing selfishly, like, I just hate, and this is probably not going to go over that well to anybody, but the more I see political partisan and political sides buying up media companies, and that may be the case here at someday at the Tribune, even, who knows? I just think that there's no place for it. I know that you're going to have a bias. You have a bias. You're probably liberal leaning. I get it. I just think that when you start from the top and you mandate that we're not going to talk about certain things, I just think it is so crucial for the structure of this country and why this country's been successful that when I start seeing people step on that, I just want to punch them in the face. So,
right.
I don't know. That's my rant.
It invites an impulsiveness to flagging, like when it, I think the way it's set up now, if you don't like something, you're not going to take the time to think about it. You're just like, I want to destroy this video.
Yeah, and it bothers me. So anyway, I'm happy that you brought light of that, because I do think it's a big issue, and you did a great job again. This has been an awesome show. Where do people follow up with you?
Okay, so yeah, I'll be on the Technori Live show on Saturdays at the opening 10 minutes or so, right?
Yep, we got you before the first break.
Yeah, and then every Monday night, my show, The Feed, which, you know, all three of us help make, is available on Facebook, technori.com, every Monday night.
And where do I follow you at?
My Twitter handle is at @FralickSean, and I tweet a lot, and I'm very opinionated, so I'm sorry if you disagree with me.
My opinions are my own.
Yes.
And for that girl that ghosted you, you know what? I'm just going to tell you, Casper comes back, man. Casper comes back with a vengeance. You better watch out who you ghost.
Yeah, her loss.
It's going to be her loss when she sees you on national television at a time not too far from now. Very cool. Thanks for coming in here.
Thank you.
This has been great. You can watch this episode and more on technori.com. You can check out Sean on The Feed, which will be on technori.com and Facebook. You can download this podcast on iTunes, and you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.